to episode 45 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the things that we love most, travel. Each week, we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local and some more exotic. So why don't you join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get on out. My name is Andy, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents Robin, Sandy, Elizabeth, and Lindsay. But tonight, we're also joined by two very special guests, Alice and Derek. They've recently returned from an Adventures by Disney tour through Germany with their family, and we asked them to come on tonight and share their experiences with us. Thank you both for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
So, Adventures by Disney, it's a high-end escorted tour. And although Disney is in the name, the only real indication you get of the Disney product is the high quality of the tours and experiences you have on your adventures. Now, these tours are really made for families, and no, Mickey Mouse himself doesn't appear at any time during the trip. This is really about the storytelling experience in the destinations and a lot of the inspiration for some of the Disney tales. It's also about coming together as a family and experiencing a place and time at the level of each individual guest. So let's go ahead and start talking with our guests and hear all about their recent adventure. Alice, Derek, tell us a little bit about your family. I know you have three kids and you travel together often, but tell us about what you've done in the past and how this differs from, you know, previous family vacations and why this appealed to you.
We travel every year. We take a pretty big summer trip. We've gone to Alaska, we've gone to Hawaii, we've gone to Bahamas, Turks and Caicos. Mm-hmm. And this year, my daughter, who is seven, we have three kids. They're 7, 11, and 13. My daughter wanted to see princesses and castles. And so we found the Adventures by Disney. And she was really interested in the princesses. And Disney actually did bring out a few princesses for us along the way. So, like you said, no Mickey Mouse or anything, but yeah, there were actually princesses there, and she was really excited.
And you had some genuine, you know, German historic castle experiences, too.
Right. Actually saw several castles, slept in an actual castle for several nights. And it was completely different from anything we've done before, because we've always done more of the touristy. We've done Disney's Alani in Hawaii. We've done, you know, cruises, but this one gave you the real history.
It actually, was this the first time you had ever done an escorted tour?
Yes, it was.
I did some when I was younger, but it was the first time as a family that we've done an escorted tour.
You know, my background is actually running escorted tours. It was a slightly different demographic from the Adventures by Disney. But, you know, it's still an escorted tour. You still have a group of people. You still have a set itinerary. It was always a bit of a challenge whenever we had young children or younger children on board. How did your kids deal with the whole, you know, traveling by motor coach and the escorted tour experience?
Well, that was one of the things that actually we loved the most about the Adventures by Disney. You ask my children what they liked most about the trip, and it'll be the other kids. They all sat together at the back of the bus, and they're like, we're taking a bus trip today? Yay, we love that. We have so much fun in the bus. So the actual bus trip was one of the highlights for them. It was kind of funny.
Really?
They had a really good group of similarly aged children, and so that was one of the highlights for them.
Each bus trip was only 2 to 3 hours at tops. Yeah. It was pick up, we would go, and that'd be one day, and then several days later it would happen again. So it wasn't a day.
So you had multiple nights in each location where you stayed?
Yes, at least two nights in every.
Well, that's often what happens with some escorted motor coach tours, that you may only have one night in a certain city, and often people claim that it feels a little rushed. But obviously, that wasn't your experience. And when the kids are looking forward to a bus ride, you know, something's going right?
Yeah, every place we went, we actually had some of our own time, a half day that was unescorted. So it was always go see something and then get some time on
your
own.
Free time
to go have some free time.
That's important.
It was wonderful.
So I'd like to just interject here one thing about Adventures by Disney that we, you know, when Alice and Derek called me to book this, she asked me about the ages of the other kids booked, and that's something that we can do They were pretty flexible in their dates. They had a few weeks that they could go. And so we were actually able, you know, when I was booking it, I was actually able to get based, not a roster, I didn't have names or anything, but I could find out the ages and the gender of all the children who are currently booked on the trip. And of course that's fluid, you know, somebody can change their trip, move their trip, whatever. And it may be that if you're booking really early, nobody else has booked yet. But we were able to actually look at, you know, the ages of the children who are going and compare them to Alice and Derek's kids, and they could sort of pick which week was going to suit, or which itinerary was going to suit them best, which time frame.
And that's something that our one of our tour guides said, was that like the tour before us, or that he'd been on before us, had been mostly teenagers, and only like one child who was officially a junior adventurer age, under 12. So it was good for all the teenagers, but the one child basically hung out, you know, more with his parents than he would have with other kids.
So he also said the teenagers very easily immature down to the junior adventurer level.
As ours did. Yes.
So how many kids were actually on the tour that you guys took?
About 10.
Mm-hmm. And there were how many people on board the coach?
30 total.
30. So there were
two. Yeah, there were two couples who were just adult couples, and everyone else had, see, I think one person had one child, and everyone else had two to three children.
Okay.
Two and a half, three.
So I want to hear more about the castles, because that to me sounds like the coolest thing. So when I think of sleeping in a castle, I think kind of drafty and like stone walls and stuff. How was that really?
It was pretty opulent.
Yeah.
It was it was very nicely renovated. It didn't have air conditioning, but it was very nicely renovated.
Yeah, but you didn't really need it. They did have fans. You could leave the windows open. You know, the walls were a foot and a half thick. You wouldn't have known it was a castle from the inside. It was a very nice hotel from the inside. But on the outside, you look down, and you're looking down at the courtyard. You're looking at, you know, all the ramparts around and things like this. You're looking out at, oh, my God, the beautiful countryside. My 13-year-old actually looked out the window and was like, this is better than what you can see in video games.
Wow.
He actually said that. He kept getting up, just looking out the windows at this beautiful rolling countryside.
Wow.
The clouds coming in.
Well, it's one of the things, you know, I lived in Germany for nearly 3 years, and I've run tours all over Germany. And that's one thing that surprised a lot of people is the spectacular scenery. People often think, oh, it's Germany, you think the big cities. But there is some fabulous mountain scenery, or just rolling green hills and dotted with castles and
I think all Lederhosen and castles and stuff.
Not as much Lederhosen as you would have guessed.
Yeah. Really? Did you buy any, Derek? Do you have some?
I did not.
No. I tried.
I know a couple of good tracting outlets where you can really go and try some on.
The first stop, we were at Heidelberg initially, and we did get to see Heidelberg Castle, and that was absolutely wonderful. You get a full tour by one of their guides. They take you through, and she actually took us down into some of the guards' living chambers that were under one of the walls that was a locked gate, and she had to open the gate, went down in there, turned on these lights, and went way back into it, down this long, dark hallway cave, basically. And, you know, it's a place that most people don't get to go. That was one of the things that Adventures by Disney actually let us get to go do. Now, I'm sure some tours probably would, but, you know, nobody else was around where we were. We were on these back areas where the rest of the crowds weren't. When you come out to the main area, there were just tons of people, but the places that took us
was a very, very popular destination.
Absolutely
you
amazing.
You could get that sort of personal touch and taken away from it all and get, you know, the stories.
When we came around and saw other people, we were rather shocked. We're like, whoa, who are all these other people that are here? Because we were back on the lower half, down into the garden area, around behind the back and getting the tours and the scenery. It was, they did a really good job. We really enjoyed Heidelberg Castle a lot.
We actually got to dance on top of the world's largest wine barrel. It's 55,000 gallons. It has held wine, but she taught us a German dance, and we got to dance on top of it.
Wow.
Yeah,
all 30 of you fit on top of that thing?
No, they split the group.
Oh, it was only half.
Oh, okay. Wow.
We probably could have. I mean, you can sit tables and chairs up there. I've stood on top of that.
Wow.
But then think about the dwarf who was reputed to have
Perkeo.
Patricio?
Perkeo. Yep.
Yeah, that's one of the things about Adventures by Disney that they that kind of sets them apart is the kind of special things that you get to do that you
and special access to things.
Yeah, special access. Yeah.
Yeah, the same thing happened at Löwenbräu Castle. We had a tour guide there who was, you know, showing us into rooms, locking the door behind us, and one time
that didn't sound creepy at all.
And she started telling him in German, "You can't be in here. This is a private tour." And they're like, "We don't speak German." She's like, "Oh, private tour. You must go." And we're like, "Well, he could have stayed." It did make us all feel kind of, "Hey, this is our private tour.
This is special." Yeah. One of the other things at Neuschwanstein, when there, they have horse and cart that will take you up or take you down, but it's pretty much a first come first serve. Except for Disney. Disney is the only group that they will reserve, and you have three entire horse and carts just for people.
Because it's not a straight walk up to the castle.
No, it is quite a walk.
King Ludwig II, King Ludwig, built his castles because he was a little delusional and wanted his peace and quiet in the middle of the Bavarian Alps. And, he didn't want to be disturbed. And, boy, it's a bit of a trek. I've walked that many times.
It's gorgeous, though, once you get up there. I mean, that view is such a payoff when you're up there.
Yeah, my kids were even amazed at it. They were just, they kept wanting to go up to look at from Maria's Bridge and look out at the castle.
Yeah. That was the best view of the castle in my mind from the Marine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you guys had some other experiences there that were just part of the Adventures by Disney. Can you tell us some of the special things that they had you do in some of the places you visited? You did pretzel making and you visited...
Dress-up day.
And dress-up day?
Yes. Yeah. That was cool.
Dress-up day? Really? So,
Rotenburg, there's actually a shop that is a weapons and German... things shop, not like Christmas shops. There are plenty of those.
This one was much more.
This is more of a man's shop.
In the basement, people's heads off.
In the basement, they actually take photos and let you dress up, and you put on. Women put on the medieval women's dresses. Men actually put on armor. I wore chain mail, and that is heavy, 80 pounds. They actually use a little hoist to lift it up. Slide your arms into it and then drop it down on you and then a tunic over that and then a sword and a helmet. And they took pictures of our whole family doing that.
The kids got to do it as well?
Yeah, the kids got to do it as well. Yeah, the boys' chain mail was probably aluminum. I got the real deal. I cannot imagine after 10 minutes my knees were getting shaky.
One of the other things that when people think of Germany, you think of sort of traditional German foods, whether it's bratwurst or maybe even pretzels. You guys got to actually make your own pretzels, right?
We made our own pretzels. That was a lot of fun. It was very hot, but they were very good, fresh out of the oven, and that was a wonderful experience as well. It was wonderful. We got to go to the Steiff factory and museums. Steiff bears being one of the first teddy bears and just a really high quality. I remember because my family actually spent time in Germany. I was born there. And every time my sister learned a new animal name, my mom would go out and get her one. And so now we have this prize collection, or she has a prize collection of these little Steiff animals. And I'm always like, oh, I want a Steiff. I'm not paying them back.
Very pricey.
So we got to see that, and we got to make, it's not the whole animal because it would take days to make one animal, but we did get to do, it was like a little pillow, an animal head, and they say, well, you can use it as a pillow on your flight home, and actually did do that. And then they have an outlet there, yay! and so that was also really neat, and they have a petting zoo. So I've got some great pictures of even my 13-year-old on the back of a polar bear.
What?
On the back of a polar bear?
Yes.
Okay, it wasn't a real polar bear, just like for the record, okay? Are we clear?
A Steiff polar bear.
A Steiff.
Oh, so it's a petting zoo of stuffed animals?
Yes.
And you ride on it. There's actually...
And Sandy was really confused.
I was picturing sheep and stuff. I'm like, oh, cute, okay.
Camels and elephants you climb up to on steps and things.
Wow, that big, really?
There's a slide going down to the second story, and we convinced the kids that current record is 56 times down the slide, so they can wear themselves out.
And that's a snake. It looks like a snake mouth. You're coming out of a snake mouth.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Really cool. So,
you guys visited several places. You spent several nights in each location. What was your favorite place that you stayed and why?
Heidelberg.
Why?
I loved Heidelberg. But part of that was because we got there a day early, and we got to spend some extra time kind of adventuring around, so it felt more like home. But it's a college town.
It's awesome.
Where we were at the Crown Plaza was right off of the... from the Hofstrasse, and it had restaurants all around it. There was a grocery store across the street, so we could just go in and grab some drinks on our way out. And I just felt incredibly comfortable there.
We've been recording now for a little while, and they haven't mentioned beer yet.
I was just about to say that. Why have we not talked about beer?
So Derek and Alice, you guys partook of some of the local brews.
We did.
Absolutely.
The thing that surprised me the most, and being a beer snob, I was expecting a lot more beer. It really felt more like when you go to a restaurant and they say, we carry Pepsi products, we carry Coke products. And that's how it was for every restaurant. One restaurant would carry Hofbräu products. The next restaurant would carry Pollinator products. And that's
it. Five or six of the same variety.
Well, they're right. They would have some. That was it. You couldn't go in and see this long list of beers. It was, we have the Pilsner, we have the wheat, we have the dark, we have the Pilsner wheat, and they would have the things that were the blends.
Well, also in Alsfeld, we drank Alsfelder.
Right.
And, I mean, that was one of the great things was you drank the local
brews. Every local brews.
We had Waldecker. And, everything was where you were. So that was, we had some absolutely fantastic beers, but I was really surprised coming from the United States with the craft beer scene. Mm-hmm. There are not craft beers all over the place, but you do start experiencing the differences between all of the different Pilsners and all the different darks.
And particularly given the fact that they have a purity law in Germany that only allows solely natural ingredients to be used, you'd think there's only so many recipes they could come up with, but every regional or local variant has a different taste, right?
Yes, they were... quite different.
And I also have to say that after we, one of the other wonderful things that we did was the bike ride around Edersee.
That was the lake,
the reservoir. Our guide explained that a Radler, which is kind of like a shandy, it's like Sprite mixed with beer instead of lemonade mixed with beer. And it kind of originated from after a bike ride. It was a refreshing drink, and I started drinking those, and I also found I like wheat beer, but they also will mix the wheat beer with the Sprite. It's a Rusen. And I really enjoyed those. It was just a way to kind of lighten up.
Light, refreshing. Yeah, mm-hmm. The bike ride around Lake Edersee, that was probably one of my favorite experiences. It's about 5 miles long. There were only two little hills you go up, but the rest of it was these slow, long downhills. Everybody did it except for, I think, four people in the entire group. But even the small children, they made it fine. We had an absolutely wonderful time. Everyone agreed it was just a great experience. You start at one place. They brought all the bikes to you. Everyone got fitted for bikes. Off we went. You ride all the way around the lake, come out to the other end. We stopped. Got onto a little ferry, took the ferry back across the lake to one of the other stops and had lunch right there overlooking the lake. It was a wonderful one.
Now, that's great because you get a very good feel for the Germans themselves are very, conscious of their health. And cycling is a very popular pastime up there.
Yes.
You spent time in Munich, you see the cycle paths all through the city center. Everywhere.
Especially Heidelberg. Oh my goodness, you had to be careful not to get run over by the bikes.
Well, it's a combination of the German fanaticism for healthcare and students.
Exactly.
But I'd always sort of warn my clients as they were getting off our tour bus and walking towards a hotel is just be careful. There is literally a psychopath, and by psychopaths.
But they were very, very rich. rigid about all of the street yes. laws. It was amazing. There was one area where there was construction, and it was a narrow little street. No one crossed it until the light changed. You could, you know, hop across the distance, but nobody moved until the light changed.
So Derek, with the bikes, I happen to know you like cycling. Were there people who did the cycling who aren't necessarily cyclists who don't enjoy that as a hobby?
Oh, yeah.
Were they
everyone happy with it? Okay. Grandmothers did it. The 5-year-old children did it. Everybody did. And
they did try to discourage you a little bit. They said that if you really were uncomfortable with the, you know, if you really were having some, you know, thoughts that maybe you couldn't do it, they encouraged them to take the ferry instead. But like he said, only like 4 people didn't ride the bikes. And I was a little concerned and I was fine.
Yeah, you could sit on the ferry and just take the ferry around because it basically goes between the different stops on the Eddish Sea. And you could just hang out on the ferry and just see this beautiful lake and have drinks on the ferry and just, you know, cruise around for 2 hours instead of riding the bikes. But pretty much everyone rode the bike.
There you go, Elizabeth. That's more your style.
I would try the bike. You know, I might fall over halfway through, but I would try it.
Depends on how much beer you have, right?
Robin, I thought you had a question. I think you were
going. My question was, were there any activities that the adults did separate from the kids? We had one junior adventurer night when we were in Waldeck, and it was our first night in Waldeck, so third night of the trip. And so they had all the kids come together, and I think they were supposed to watch a movie. I'm not sure if they actually had time. But most of the adults actually ended up on one of the balconies outside the restaurant with a few bottles of wine. And that was the fastest 2 hours. But this trip, it was only that one time. And I know that on other trips they have, I know in Italy, then they'll take the kids out for pizza making. And so I know the different adventures have it broken out a little differently, but on our trip it was just that one night. Then also when we went to Lohengrau Castle, the kids went on a separate tour than we did, which was great because our trip was a little bit more on the history of the castle and it was a little bit more educational, and the kids they spent a lot more time in the weapons room. And so that was a good split. So it appealed to the different age groups a little bit more.
So on that comment, at Lohengrau Castle, they told us, we're in the weapons room, don't touch anything. We come out after our tour, the kids are literally wearing the armor. They let them put the armor on. They get to wear it. They got all the fists and the gloves and helmets and things, but they had a whole separate little set to one side that they'll let the kids put on. The stuff hanging on the walls that was the original stuff, they wouldn't let them touch. But, like, why didn't they let me do that?
So, my kids are similar age. I have a 14-year-old and 2 12-year-olds. And we took a Disney cruise, and that was like their favorite trip ever. And my oldest son did a vlog like every night. Would you say there was anything that stood out that was like their favorite thing, or did they have like a favorite thing every day? Or, I mean, how did they really like it? Are they wanting to do it again?
Again, for us, again, it was I've asked them what their favorite things were, and it was the other kids.
Yeah. And the bus ride.
Huh? What now?
And the bus ride.
And the bus ride. So that was the other place. They liked the bike ride and the archery. They liked the activities that we did. And so it was, we had this wonderful local tour guide in Munich named Michael. And I've read trip write-ups and people always mention, oh, Michael, he's wonderful. Mm-hmm. He really is. It's a living history lesson. And
amazing.
And so the active things like that, they truly enjoyed. And we've talked about doing some other trips, and because we rotate who every summer a different family member picks our big summer trip. And so we're thinking about, you know, we're all kind of like, oh, where would you like to go next? And I've been wanting to do Adventures by Disney for years. I've just been waiting for my kids to get, I'll be old enough to do it. Mm-hmm. So, yay.
And so, yeah, this was actually our 7-year-old daughter's choice. It was her choice this year, so.
She has good taste.
Yes.
So who's next?
No influence from mommy.
Who gets to choose next?
I do. We go by age. So it started at me, worked our way through the family, and it comes back up to me.
Cool.
So I get to choose next year.
Do you have an idea, or are you going to sit on it?
We've been talking about it.
I'm debating Central America right now. Ooh. That's kind of what I'm thinking. So the ABD does do a Costa Rica trip, mm-hmm. which our guide, Frankie, he's actually I guess, certified to lead 12 different trips by ABD, I think he said. And he does the Costa Rica. He said it's a very, very active trip. So I'm not sure if I want to do a very, very active trip because they do whitewater rafting and zip lining and all these different things like this.
So, getting back to the guides that you have, you said your guide Frankie was wonderful. You have two guides on the Adventures by Disney tour, is that correct?
Yes. We have two, one male, one female, both work for Disney otherwise. Frankie works in Orlando at Disney, and Alisa works at Alani in the children's park.
Yeah. Okay.
She's from Germany. So they just say, we need you for this trip, and then they just fly over to wherever they're going, and they are the guides for the trip, and then they go back. She was there for another couple of days to see her family, and she's flying back to Hawaii to go back to her job.
Wow.
Because that's the one thing. I mean, I was basically the company's sole representative running the tours that I ran, and it can get very tiring, when you have a very demanding group. How was it having two guides and obviously, you have Wi-Fi on the bus, I would imagine, and all sorts of things like that. Just tell us a little bit about, what you could expect while you're traveling.
I'm trying to think what to say. It was nice having someone locally who was German, although Frankie also spoke German. He could speak five or six languages as well. And he'd spent time growing up in Germany. He was a military brat. It was nice because while one was taking care of some details for, some background details, the other could actually be addressing issues with the group, and so it's nice that they could tag team.
Yeah, several of the kids would latch on to each of the different tour guides at times. So we had a couple little 8-year-olds with us who would just stick right by Alisa. Then she called them her shadows. So everywhere she went, they were always right with her. And then it was really nice having two different ones. But having a male and a female was good because they could kind of address whatever issues came up individually. And they were a lot of fun, and they really seemed to get along well.
Yeah, they were very complimentary, because Frankie was very, very outgoing. Lisa was a little bit more German, and she's a little more quiet, but she could be fun, too. She sang Heidelberg to us on the bus. But they actually have two sets of guides who do the trip, because our trip officially started on Friday, and it ended on Saturday, and you can't get from one city to the other and back in time. So they would have some time off in between the trip. And so she was spending a few days with her family in Hofheim, and I think she was going to do the next tour, but Frankie was coming back to the States. They alternate with another set of guides, so that it's not like they're constantly on. They do have some downtime in between.
Well, that's important, because having been a tour guide in a previous existence, burnout is often, something that a lot of guides complain about. Also, your hotels, particularly, say, a big city like Munich, a lot of escorted tours tend to be, located just outside the city center or maybe even a little bit further out. You guys were very central with Adventures by Disney, right?
Yes. Heidelberg, we were in the Crown Plaza, which was right in the downtown part, right off the Hauptstraße. The Waldeck was in the castle, and that is the castle of the town. Waldeck is Waldeck Castle. Rotenburg, we were in Eisenhut, and Eisenhut was a neat little hotel. It was basically different buildings around it that had been captured by this hotel and expanded into, so you never knew which room you were going to be in, what the room would look like. They were previous people's homes, so some people would have two-story rooms. Some people, ours was three rooms deep. Other people had a normal-looking room, all decorated independently. Absolutely fantastic. And then Munich, we were at the Kempinski, which is a Four Seasons right on the main strip.
There Maximilianstrasse,
right by the Opera House and the Residence Palace.
Yeah, there's a Hermes across the street party.
Yves Saint Laurent store just up the road as well.
Yep, we were on the strip there.
And for me, you were very close to Hopewell House.
Yes. Only a block away, we found out.
You guys got to go there as well as part of the trip, right?
We didn't go. We could on our own, so we did on our time off. We went down and actually had dinner there and had a beer.
What is that? Because I don't, enlighten us. I don't know what that is.
The Hofbrauhaus?
Yeah.
One of the beer gardens.
Oh, it's Elizabeth's shirt.
It's my shirt.
It's one of the oldest.
Our listeners can't tell that, but
around.
Okay.
It's like huge.
200, 300 years old. It's three stories tall. It's got a big garden out in the middle. And absolutely fantastic.
Just so much fun. Yep. And long trestle tables. And then you make your new best friends.
It's a party.
Okay.
It's a party.
Gotcha.
Every night. Yeah. Every night. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of other stuff. We actually didn't go to Hofbräu. We actually went to a different one for the night when we had our beer garden night, because they did that and we had a dinner. This one was on the outskirts of town, which was nice. It actually had a playground outside.
Oh.
So the kids would excuse themselves very politely, I'm sure. And run out on the playground. We'd call them back in and they would sit down and we would eat. And then we had dancing and music. And it was probably 10, 15 minutes out of town. So kind of, it was probably more on the outskirts of Munich, which was nice to be a little bit farther away. And we just got to see a lot of the scenery of Munich driving there, down some of the rivers and things like
that. They used to have like the last evening group dinner at the Hofbräu House, but you can't really do, it doesn't lend itself to the last evening because they show slides, they talk to you. So it needs to be a little more private. I think there's a private dining room at the Hofbräu House, but it seats like, 400 people. So.
Private for you and 399 of your best friends.
But Munich is such a young, vibrant city. I think it's got a lot to offer. And there's just so much going on. Did you get to go into the Marienplatz and see the Glockenspiel?
Yes. Michael was the tour guide that day. And we got there and Michael was unbelievably dynamic, friendly, historian. We would run to catch up with him, and the kids would just gaggle and laugh and run, and they would get there, and he would start giving these stories and doing things and just giving you this fun history of all of Germany, from where it started up to some of the different kings. And then we went in through Munich, and we went through some
Bavaria.
The history of Bavaria, one of the cathedrals, went through there. He gave us some of the history during the 1930s and 40s and how things panned out through there. And he said, we have to acknowledge this existed.
Absolutely.
And it was a part of it. And he showed us several very significant points in Munich. And it was just this nice little walking.
It was Beerhall Putsch took place in, there was a Mordi coup
that
took place in
Munich. He mentioned that. He showed us the place where other people, Michael Jackson has a
memorial there.
A memorial to him. Because before Michael Jackson.
Shrine.
Yes.
Oh, really? A shrine?
A shrine to him.
To Michael Jackson?
Something else that people have now put little stickers on these.
It was a statue for somebody else, but it was right outside this hotel where he had his own apartment, basically, like a floor of rooms. And he was there shortly before he died. And so people made a shrine to Michael Jackson on the statue outside the hotel. It is the most bizarre thing.
So Michael had to take us by and show us this. But from there, we went around the corner to the Glockenspiel, and we did see the Glockenspiel. So he was a wonderful tour guide. About 2.5 hours with him, and we ended right in the market, right in the middle, right by
the Victualian Market.
Just like any
Disney
attraction, you end in the gift shop, right?
this is all local produce.
Yes.
And good times have by all the cheeses and breads and meats and beers. And that's one of my favorite places to be in Munich. But it sounds like you guys really have an awesome time in Germany.
We did.
And that's fantastic. And it sounds like it wasn't too rushed, and the Disney experience was still evident.
I mean, that was a downside for me. I'm used to going on vacation and like staying in one place. So the first time we had to pack up, I was like, I have to pack. I don't want to pack in the middle of my trip. So by the time, the fourth time, I was used to it. And it was nice because you packed up your luggage, and in the morning you left it in your room, and then they took care of it. That was one of the nice things. I didn't have to, I had to pack and unpack, but I didn't have to worry about transporting my luggage at all. Once we got it to them.
No matter which escorted tour company you use, that's very, very, very common. That even if you have to leave it outside your room, it will be taken down for you at the porter service. And that's one of the nice things about an escorted tour. Even if you're just there for one night or three nights, it's a nice little touch.
Oh, and then also we were met when we got off our plane in Frankfurt. We were met by an ABD person right outside the gate, they had originally told us that, we would be met once we got through customs and baggage claim, but she actually met us at the gate and took us through customs, got us through this quickie little line, and led over to baggage claim and helped us with all of that and escorted us to our tour bus that took us to Heidelberg. And our kids thought that was great because we were the only family on this huge tour bus. It was crazy. They're like, oh, we got all this room. And of course, we sat up in a little clump up at the very front.
Well, wow, guys. It sounds like you guys had an absolutely fantastic experience. I'm so happy for you. It's one of my favorite countries in Europe. And I'm glad you got to see and stay in castles and really have an authentic German experience. And we really appreciate you guys coming on today. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. Guys, that's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any other episode, really. So to leave your comments, you can visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode on which you wish to comment. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or you can just search for Fly Away. Or you can also email us at outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. So we'd like to thank, once again, our guests, Alice and Derek, for joining us tonight and sharing their experiences. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Of course.